Lord and sure enjoyed that singing. My goodness. I tell you what, if I could sing like that, I'd sing everywhere. Sometimes I do sing a lot of times. People say, "Well, Daniel, you can't sing very good." But you know what? I got a joyful noise that I like to use for the Lord. So I know Sister Hannah had been really struggling with her voice this week, and earlier she said, "Daddy, I don't think I'm going to sing this evening." I said, "Okay." I said, "Oh," and asked him again. She says, "I'll sing." I said, "Well, God bless you for that, sister. God will bless you for that." So God bless you. You guys can be seated. You might too. I enjoyed that song Sister Brittany sang. That's probably one of my favorite songs, "I Can Pray." You know, sometimes you feel like everything around you is just crumbling. Everything is just, you know, like, "What, Lord, what in the world can I do in this situation I'm in?" You can pray. And, you know, it's the devil will try to make you think that it doesn't matter when you pray. He'll think, you know what, it's useless. Whenever you pray, you may as well, nothing's going to happen. You may as well just do it. It's just a ritual. But I'm going to tell you something. Even when you don't feel like it, many times it's when you don't feel like it, that's the time to pray. That's more time than ever, because when you start praying, that is acknowledging where your strength comes from. And you know, I know that I've seen God move in my life through prayer. I mean, how many of you ever say, "You know, Brother, I remember a time when I prayed, and that was God that did that."
Amen.
Absolutely. You can say, "You know what? I know without a doubt that was God." You know, because you know, people that worship Muhammad, people that worship the other God, they can't do that. You know, the best they can do is say, "God, I hope the sun comes up," because the sun comes up automatically. It's just coincidence, not being mean or trying to be, but that's honestly the truth. But whenever we're serving a living God, you can pray for God to move. And you need, "I need a job." You need, "God, I need finances. I need this." And you'll see God move that mountain. That's God, you know, but a lot of times we don't give him thanks for it, for what he does. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And I've tried to cut this scripture down, and I just felt convicted every time I stopped, so we're just going to read the whole chapter. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. And she'll have these on the multimedia. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Knew you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise we reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of our God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord. Lord God, I've already read your scriptures, Lord. As we've heard the prophet say many times, we could all close our Bibles right now and go home and say it was blessed to be in the house of the Lord because your word was written, Lord. Lord God, we ask you that you would come and speak to our hearts now. Come into each individual, Lord, as an individual gospel, Lord, minister to each one. Lord, that each of us can draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We are saved by amazing grace. You say amen.
Amen.
Me and Brother Tony were talking about where we were, and it was grace. I come from a family of absolute, not to be mean or cruel to them, but it was like a train wreck of just the chaos constantly, constantly, constantly. And looking at the life that I had fallen into myself, and if I was to look back and see the 15-year-old boy and see the stuff that I was in, that my family was in, all the turmoil was in, and how I had made a wreck in my life, if I was in myself to look at myself and say, that is hopeless. Without how can I ever get out of that? But it wasn't me, it was God. God reached down and grabbed a hold and pulled it up and put us up in a place where he can clean us up, and God did the work. And I'm so thankful that each of us has a testimony. Each of us can look back at that. If you have an experience with the Lord, you do. If you have an experience with the Lord, you have a testimony where you can look back and say, God did this in my life. And you know, the greatest thing that you can ever do in this life is just give witness to what God has done in your life. You know, a lot of times parents will do things for the kids, and if you listen to the kids will say about their parents, you would think they're the worst parents in the world. By the things that they talk, the way they act, man, your parents will let you do nothing. But then, you know, the person they're talking to, you know, they can stay out as late as they want. They can do what they want. They do these things. They have a life of freedom. Y'all must live under legalism. As people try to say, your parents must be legalistic because y'all only walk by rules. They only do this. They're legalistic. But if you was to go down and look at the life that God has blessed, let me ask you something. Has God blessed that life? Yes, he has. Well, praise God. I think I could stand a little what could look like legalism if I could have the blessing of the Lord. You say amen. You know what? Because God will give you rules. Don't stay out too late. Don't do this. Don't do that. But you know the law is only to they that break the law. Because whenever you obey the law, it's going to fall to you because you're going to do it automatically. And you know, that's what happens when you get a real experience of God. You get God on the inside of you. It's not a do not, do not, do not, do this, do that. It's something on the inside of you. It's a love to serve God. It's a love to be with God. You know, when I started talking to my wife, you didn't have to beg me to talk to her on the phone. It happened. You know what? There was something compelling me. I would pick up on that over the first cell phone, young people. It was the phone with the house phone with the cord or the little antenna that sticks out of it. And you can talk to her, and I thought, oh yeah, we're talking. You go out in the yard and all of a sudden it starts getting fuzzy. And like, oh, I gotta get back, I'm losing signal. Gotta get a little closer to the house. Now you young people don't know nothing about that, but you know, that was our first cell phone. That was the cell phone. You didn't have to compel me and get me to sign some kind of card to get me to talk to my wife. It was something that happened automatically. It was a love for her that came to me, and I yielded myself to that love. And I want to speak to you tonight about instruments of the Lord. You know, because we are all instruments. But you can choose whether you want to be an instrument for the Lord or an instrument for the devil. And you can make the choice. You know, the guitar over here, anybody can walk up to that guitar and play. They can play gospel music. They can play country music. They can play blues music. That guitar can't make the decision. He cannot change that. The piano, whoever wants to get on that piano can play it. They can play whatever they want because that piano has nothing in it that can stop them. But man has got a free moral agency on the inside of him where he can choose. You can say, yes, I will yield myself to the Spirit of God. Yes, I'll yield myself to the spirit of the world. You have a choice. You have a free moral agency, and it's up to you on which one you're going to serve. And whoever you yield yourself, that is the servant you're going to be. You know, Brother Brenham talked about how he went to go collect the money for a gas company one time, and he went to the house. He heard the boogie-woogie music playing through the window, and he walked in there, and this woman, he could hear her just dancing all the way to the door, and he said, "Hello, ma'am, I'm here to collect this bill. I hate being here for this, but I need you to go ahead and do this." She said, "Oh, yeah, I've got that." And she just boogie-woogies and boogie-woogies and boogie-woogies and grabs that money into the bill, and boogie-woogies all the way to the door and hands it to him. And Brother Brim said she didn't have hardly any clothes on her. Brother Brim said she was yielding herself to that spirit.
There was a spirit that was coming on that girl, and that is what compelled her. That was what caused her to live in death and act the way she was doing. She was yielding herself to a spirit. And everything is motivated by a spirit. You get someone that lies all the time, they can't help it. They lie about nonsense stuff. Sometimes they will lie about stuff that it doesn't even make sense. Why would you lie about that? They've got a spirit on them. You get somebody that wants to smoke cigarettes constantly. It's a desire. What is it? It's a spirit. You get somebody that likes to praise God all the time. Every time you get around, they want to talk about the Lord. What is it? The Holy Ghost. You know, you can yield yourself to whatever spirit you're going to do to. You can choose. I will yield to this spirit. I will not. The scripture says, resist the devil steadfast and he'll flee from you. Listen to me. That depression is a spirit. That spirit will try to come on you and he'll make you think about what you don't have. You don't have this. You're bound. You don't do this. You have no joy. It is a spirit. And if you open yourself up to that, you will inhabit that spirit and you will demonstrate a depressing spirit. It is a spirit that comes, brother and sister. And you can have the choice, do I want to yield myself to the spirit or do I want to be the instrument of God that I can overcome? I want to be a good overcomer. I want to overcome the devil. I want to open myself to the right spirit and humble myself. We were saved by amazing grace. Brother Graham talked about how the eternity was this big eternity where everything was perfect and God did a little hickey called time. And this little hickey of what was called time is where we, you and I, were put into this thing to where we were going to be tried, tested, and going through everything that we could because we are going to demonstrate everything that God is. God was an overcomer. God was a healer. God was all these wonderful things, but he needed an opportunity to display that. And it just happens that we got to be the ones here to do that. You talk about he wants someone that he really needs to clean up. And he picked a good one. He picked me. You know, Brother Matthew likes to fish, and you get big fish. He said, "Why's that good one? Why was a good one?" Whenever he's something, I'm not saying good one. I don't mean because he was a good boy. I'm talking about a bad one. I was a case that was hopeless. You should have seen me, brother and sister. I was the guy that had the big old jeans you see people walking around. That was me. The guy that wore the shirt so tight, back then it wasn't tight here. It was actually, you know, in the arms and stuff. Young people, you just hold on. It's coming. All this up here just drops right down here. But there was a time that you look at the guy going down the street that's got the things in his eyebrows, in his ear, and the big old banjo pants and all these things. The guy listening to the rock and roll music, that was me. That was me. And God, by his grace, he, during that hickey of time, God never sit her down looking at that. God was looking at eternity. God was looking at eternity. This is where I come from, the eternal thoughts of God. That's where I'm going back to. All it is down here during this little hickey of time, I've got to go through this thing because I have to prove to the devil that God's word will do what it says it'll do. God said he would heal me. God said I'd do these things. So what we got to remember and focus on is during that hickey of time that we're down here, remember, you come from there. You're going back to there. So stop thinking I'm not one of God's. You're already one of God's. God's grace is sufficient for you. You didn't call yourself to this. God called you to this. So get that out of your head. So, Brother Daniel, that means I can just live in the way I want to? God's grace is sufficient. No, God forbid. You have to know it. I'm in this hickey of time. I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. And start resisting that depressing devil. Amen. Say amen. I know it's not to fight a depressing spirit. I have fought it. And you know what? You'll whoop that devil, and guess what will happen? A little bit of time, that devil will come right back, and you'll have to whoop him again. But you'll never be able to whoop it by yourself. You know, there's a lot of people that they go try to take the scripture and make it like a psychology message where you just do it by a bunch of rules, just rules, you know. Just live this, live this. But you know what? You got to remember, it is a powerful gospel that can cast that spirit out of you. Brother Brum said it's through the preaching of the word. When the word is being preached to you, spirits are being cast out that you didn't even know were being cast out of you. As I mentioned, Monday, last time I spoke to you, sometimes you'll eat something and you're like, I don't even know what I ate. But do you feel fed? Yeah, I do. What was it? As long as I'm getting fed, that's the most important thing. But so during the preaching of the word, it is through the preaching, whenever the God will anoint a fivefold ministry that will preach to you, it will cast those spirits out. But brother and sister, it's up to you after that spirit's cast out of you. What are you going to do with it? Because you're going to be an instrument for something. And I've got to get back to my notes where I'm not going to get where I want to be in the time that we want to be. It has never been man in his own abilities that overcomes the enemy. It is always the Spirit of the Lord on the believer that does the overcoming. When you look at that Samson, look at Samson in his own abilities. When Samson went to go look at the fight the enemies of him, if we were looking at our side of looking at the books, we'd say, Brother Samson would be this muscled up guy like Malachi, you know, or Matthew. This was a guy that's full of muscles, big old chest muscles, and the air would blow and the wind would blow behind their head. You know how Hollywood tries to put the picture. Stand on the big rock, foot on the rock, big old muscles blaring, an image of that. They'll put an image of Samson. That is the overcomer. But you know what Brother Graham said? He was a little shrimp. A little bitty short guy. A little sissy-fied hair hanging down. This man was looking at tasks that he needed to overcome, and it looked absolutely impossible. Brother Graham said, if he was that big, strong person, he said it would not be a mystery that he could overcome the devil. He said what made it the mystery was this little bitty man looked like he was a mess. But when the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, that is what the mystery was. Because when the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, he was able to take the gates off the city. But brother and sister, that is the mystery for us. We must have the Spirit of the Lord. You can have times of revival. What do I mean by a time of revival? You can have a certain scripture that you're trying, or a certain need that you've been praying about, and you'll pray about it, and you'll pray about it, and you'll pray about it, and nothing happens. You can look at a scripture, a divine promise out of the Bible, and you're looking at God, I want it, nothing will happen. But then there will be a time of revival in your life when the anointing of God will come down upon you, and you'll look at the exact same scripture that you've been looking at for the past how many years, but all of a sudden, it happens. And you can see it, and you can believe it. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can try to believe it. I want to believe for that. I want to believe for this promise. I want to believe it. You can try, and you're trying to believe, but it ain't working. Nothing's happening. But there is a time of revival when that revival will come upon you if you're able to believe that word. And if you look at that, you take another promise and believe it, and it happens. You look at another, and it happens. What is it? It's a time of revival. And we all have them. If you look at the victories in the Bible, it's moments. There are moments of tremendous victories. We love to look at David and say, I want to watch David's life. When David wakes up, it is miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. It wasn't that way. David would go into the valley. He'd say, oh, God, get me out of this valley. I'm defeated. God, don't let my enemies eat me up. God, help me do that. God, take him to the mountaintop. He'd say, praise God, I'm on the mountaintop. Praise God, I'll praise him. God will take him right back into the valley. This was a man that was on the mountaintop in the valley, on the mountaintop in the valley, on the mountaintop in the valley. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Oh, Brother Daniel, I stay on the mountaintop. Oh, glad you told me. I couldn't tell. You say amen. Because you know what? We would love to stay on top of the mountaintop all the time where we can praise God all the time and everything's going good. But you have to go into the valley. Because when you go into the valley, that's when you can cry out to God and say, God, slay this giant in front of me. But then when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you during that time of revival, you don't need a revival when everything's going good. You say amen. If you're on the mountaintop, you're not crying, oh God, get deliver me from this. You're already delivered. When you're on top of the mountaintop, you say, praise God. God is good. Try talking to Hannah after the baby was given to her. Remember, she cried. She was into the valley wanting this baby. And her adversary tormented her until she was sore because she wanted to have victory. She wanted this baby. When she was in the valley, that's when she was crying out to God. When God gave her the child and put her on the mountaintop, and then she was dancing and praising God because God, everything that God had did. It's when you're in the valley is when you need the revival. But what people love tape ministry because you're going to take, you can just listen to tape what Brother Brenham said and you can pretty much live any way you want to. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? There are certain tapes, Brother Brenham, you won't ever hear him certain things about your life. We'll talk about other areas of your life. And you listen to a tape ministry and you can listen to that tape, but I'm just listening to what the prophet said. But the difference of a tape ministry and you got a fivefold ministry, that pastor and preacher and teacher and evangelist can take the exact
exact same tapes, but he'll go right into your life. I'm a big old Malachi. He can go right into your life and start examining. He's been washing behind your ears. He's been washing behind his ears. This is for the record.
That ministry can go right down, and he can get right in your living room, looking behind your ears. He can get right into your tater patch. Let Brother Brennan ever do that.
He's listening to a tape.
That will say, you know, I don't want that. I can live any way I want to. God will gift you with a ministry that will have a burden for exactly what you're going through. And when he goes through that, when does it benefit you the most?
When you're in the valley. Yeah,
right. It's whenever you're like, God, goodness, I don't feel the Spirit of God. I don't feel him anymore. And the devil will try to pound your mind and say, you know what? You never had it. It was just emotion. It was just sensation.
The Holy Ghost is gone. As I mentioned the other day, you know what? It's like the Lord. This is Brother Daniel Black 1-1, okay? It's like whenever you got plugins for certain things, and a plug-in for feelings. And God will reach down and he'll take that plug-in of feelings and unplug that. You've got the same God all the time. You've got the same power all the time. You've got everything all the time. All it is, God took off the feelings. And you just keep walking and meet with that gospel. Keep walking. I don't feel a thing. I don't see a thing. I know what to do because I am a mature Christian. I know what I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to do these things. Legalistic, as the world would say. You're doing the right thing, but all of a sudden you'll see God reach down and plug that feeling right back in. And all of a sudden, like, oh, praise God. God had never left you. He just took the feelings away. Could you imagine a person in a young couple that were walking by feelings? My wife and I, when we first started our journey together on that phone, if I stayed on the phone like that, I wouldn't have a job. We were connecting all the time, talking all the time, feeling all the time, lovey-dovey all the time. But there comes a time when you've got to go beyond the feelings and start doing what you're called to do.
That's right.
And that's where you're being a mature husband and wife.
Right.
And when you're being a husband and wife, that's where I've got to go to work. And when I'm going to work and doing the things that I'm doing, my wife's got to have enough confidence in the love that I have for her of knowing that he ain't left me. He forsook me. He's providing for me. He's out doing the things he needs to do. And brother and sister, with our walk with the Lord, it's the same way. You've got to have confidence in the Lord. Have confidence. He has not left me. Could you imagine, Brother Tony, how many years have you been married now? When I saw him, like, oh boy. Brother, you're in trouble. Sister Lisa's in a long time. How many, brother?
36.
My goodness, brother. I didn't realize that old. No.
Hey, the wonderful, they've got a relationship where they've been married 36 years. Could you imagine Brother Tony, after 36 years, having to call his wife, I'm not going to leave you, honey. I love you. I'm not going to go out here and do this. I love you. I love you. You don't have to worry about me running out. I love you. Could you imagine a marriage like that?
But Brother Tony and Sister Lisa have such a relationship. If he doesn't call her immediately, she knows he's working. I've got confidence in him. I know he's working. I know he's doing. I don't have to worry that he's going to leave me. And brother and sister, would you walk with the Lord? We love that touch all the time. We love that feeling of lovey-dovey touching. But when you go through that moment where God ain't touched you all week long, all day long, I ain't felt the Lord, you got to have confidence in the love of the Lord. He's not leaving me. Stupid devil, he's not leaving. I know who I'm married to. Let me ask you, are you married to him? Or are you just dating him? Or are you just trying to court him? I'm married to the Lord. Like it or not, buddy, you're stuck with me. You may as well love me because you ain't getting rid of me. You say amen? And that by Holy Spirit, you may as well give up, buddy. I'm hanging on to you. I'm going to hang on to you like Jacob held on to the angel of the Lord. I'm going to wrestle with him because he ain't getting rid of me. And if you don't like me, brother and sister, you just wait till we get over there. You say amen. Brother Tony, I think I heard him say that today. He said, if there's one person going in a rapture in this service, it's me. I'm the one going in the rapture. And like it or not, you're going too. Because God's given a ministry that when you start getting slack and you start slacking down, he's going to come after you. He's going to come knocking on your door. My teenagers hate it when you get in their personal life. Say amen? I didn't hear one single teenager say amen to that. The teenagers hate it when parents get in their personal life. Amen?
Amen.
I heard two of them, maybe three. You know, when you've got a parent that will get into your personal life, you should thank God for that. Because that parent that's getting into your personal life is because they care about you. And they have a vision for your life. And they've got somewhere that you want to go. Because we live in a world today where kids just go wherever they are going aimlessly. They have no idea what they're going to do with their life. They have no idea what kind of job they're going to do. They have no idea what woman they should marry or if it even matters. They have no idea. Does it matter if you have premarital sex? They have no guidance at all. Is it okay to kiss before you get married? They have no idea. Is it okay that we can do this? Is it okay to do that? You live in this world where it is that way. But you know what? That is the world. But whenever you've been gifted, I'm going to say gifted, with a family that preaches the message and believes the best, you should thank God. Because that parent is avoiding keeping you out of things that all these other people are going into.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a public school and you look at kids, there are people going to be graduating here in the next few days. And there's a majority of them, and I would say probably 90% or more, that have absolutely no idea what they're going to do in Asaf. But you can listen to it in American, Chinese, Mexican. It don't matter what language, you can listen to them. What are you going to do? I'm going to marry a beautiful woman, and I'm going to make a lot of money. Does that sound familiar? I think I've said that here before. It's still the truth. Brother Graham said, you know, you preach about the ash heap. He said, we're going to get jump off the ash heap. He said, whenever everybody gets off of it. Once they repent of that, then we'll go on to something else. If the Lord ever circles back, it may be for a reason.
That's right.
No, we live in school where kids can go day by day, year by year, and they said, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get that, I'm gonna have a lot of money, I'm gonna have a big truck, I'm gonna have this, because they have this image of success. This is how I'm gonna be successful. But they don't have the steps. What are the steps you're gonna take to get there? And you know what? In the same way, in the gospel, people can be in the message in the same way. They're going year by year by year by year, and they're the same person they were 20 years ago. They ain't changed. They'll have certain things they do right, do this and do this right, but the same baggage that they've held on to since back 2002 or 2000, whenever you first give your heart to the Lord. I say 2002 because that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. You can have that same baggage and you're carrying it around, and then when someone preaches or talks about it, they're legalistic. We're above that. We're in grace. Say amen. So should we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. Because you know what? We're in the covenant. That's right. But you know what? If you want to be the overcomer, you know, as kids, you look at that and you say, you know what? I want a truck like that. I want to have this house like that. I want to have this like that. I want to have this like that. But I don't want to do any things you did. That whole work thing that you did, yeah, I'm not doing that. Dad just don't understand. I'm educated. Say amen. I'm educated. I'm not going to work like Dad did. I'm not going to do that like Dad did, but I'm going to have the stuff that Dad had and then some. But you're going to bypass all this right here. And same thing in the young people, brother and sister. If you don't care, if you say, you know, I want the rapture, I want third pull, I want this, I want that, but I'm not doing all that sacrifice stuff. I'm not going to do that where all the time when you get up 3 o'clock, you get up at 3 o'clock and pray, yeah, I ain't doing that. You don't get the blessing either. Because you know what? When the Lord knocks on your heart, Brother Tony said one time, I think one of the most powerful service, Brother Tony said, knocked on the heart, he said, come talk with me. Me? You want to talk to me? Yep. You. A lot of times it's easy, you pass the buck on the preacher to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. How many of you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray? Brother Dan, you're really putting us in the pressure. There's a couple of you. Now, I'm not obligating you that you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But if God knocks on your heart at 3 o'clock in the morning and you feel that anointing of God coming on you, you know what that is a lot of time, brother and sister? It is God sending you a revival. But it's up to you on what you do with that revival. Because, Tom, whenever you feel that anointing that come on you, I'll tell you just as a personal testimony, Brother Daniel, I have felt that Spirit of the Lord come upon me, that anointing come upon me, and then I'll get up and I'll pray at 3 in the morning. And I'll read my Bible, I'll open my Bible, and scriptures will come out, and I can believe that word like I've never believed it before. And then I will see miracles start taking place. But what is it? It's because I yielded myself to that unction of the Holy Spirit when God was knocking on the heart to come and pray. And whenever you unction, when you give yourself to that, you can get in the Spirit. You know, a lot of people think getting in the Spirit is when you're jumping and you're shouting. Go this tent with these youth meetings of jumping and shouting. Who's got the Holy Ghost? Stand up. You that ain't sitting down, you get some of the Holy Ghost and you'll stand up. That's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost on your flesh. And I'm not bashing people that do that. Because, you know, a lot of those young people will leave that service and they'll think, I got the Holy Ghost because I stood up in church. And then when you face the first trial, you got nothing to hold you.
That's right.
But whenever the real Holy Ghost is whenever you're listening to that word. Remember, when it was whenever Jesus did full obedience to the word, hearing the word, and in full obedience, that's when the Spirit came down upon him and said, this is my beloved son. He was the word all the time. He was a son all the time. But what was it? He had to obey that word. And whenever he obeyed it, and at the appropriate time, this the time of revival, the Spirit came down and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And brother and sister, if God did that to Jesus Christ, he's going to do it to you and me. Where we are positionally, every service, we hear a word. It is broadcasting the same word, the same word, the same word all the time. And I'm not going to be much longer, just a few minutes, but I want to hit a couple of points and we'll call it quits, okay? But listen to this. Down the ages, God gave a message down to each age. Listen to me, young people. Down the ages, down seven church ages, God always addressed the messenger to the age. He said, unto the angel, unto the angel, unto the angel. He gave a message for that hour. He preached that word, and that message was broadcast. How was it broadcasted? There was a fivefold ministry that would hear that exact same word, and they would broadcast the exact same message. So there's not a private revelation to doubt. It's the same revelation all the time. And whenever you are broadcasting the exact same message that they preach, you'll have the same results. But if it's something altered, something different, it won't work. You won't get the same results. So does it matter what preacher we listen to? Whenever you listen to young people, they go to, you got Louisiana Camp coming. Some of the greatest ministers in the world. And I would say this to them if they were sitting right here. When you listen to that word being preached, you filter what's being preached according to what the Bible says. You filter that because you can get caught up in emotion. Brother Brennan said it this way. You get caught up in emotion and believe anything. All the way up to taking the mark of the beast. He said, but when you get into the Spirit, listen to what I'm saying. He'll say, when you get in the Spirit of the Lord, it makes things clear. So you want to see whether I got the Holy Ghost? Is it making the word clear to you? Because that is what you want. Emotions will fail you. Emotion, you can get caught up in emotion. Don't be wrong. Okay? Emotions are nice. Emotions are fun. You imagine a relationship with your husband or wife that don't have any kind of emotion? It'd be boring. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. You know, in our family, there's a little bit of emotion. We have a little bit of emotions. We laugh. We do those things. There's times for that. But you know what? Emotions alone will get you, you'll be aimless. There's got to be something solid in the home. Amen. And this comes from mommy and daddy. That mommy and daddy will hold this token. Mommy and daddy will hold those kids accountable. Mommy and daddy will show this word in front of them and say, this is what gives us our victories. This right here. It was not me going to school and being a plumber or being a salesman. You know what? Because I could have the greatest month this month, next month. It's hero to zero. That's what we call it. And in your life, you can go from hero to zero like that. Amen. Brother Daniel, we talk about hero to zero. I'm talking about you are walking in the blessings of the Lord. Everyone's healed. We got plenty of finances. Everyone's going great. I feel great. I look great. I am doing great. And you can wake up the next day, and you can't do one single thing right. No matter how hard you try to do things right, you make it wrong. Now, Brother Daniel's probably the only one that does that.
You go through ten, and you're trying. You can try to do something as simple. I'm going to take this nut, and I'm going to put it on this bolt. I've done it a million times. I'm going to hold it with my hand. I'm going to put it on there. And you try to do that, and you can't do it. You'll sit there and try and try and try and fumble. You will be doing things that you've done laundry your whole life. And this time, you'll do something wrong. And you'll bleach the whole thing. And then you got to call your daddy. Feel like your daddy sometimes. Call your husband. You know your clothes? Remember the one you told me not to mess up? Well, I bleached it. Amen. And during that time, you think that ain't a test on that man's character? It's not when you're doing things good. It's when you mess up. It's when you absolutely blew it. I blew it. I'm going to say one more thing, and we're going to quit. But let me catch this. We got a miracle dog in our house. And her name is Kiki. There's another part to the story. And we're going to get that tonight. For all that don't know, I've got this little gold dog. I don't care for the dog. Didn't really care for the dog at all. But it comes to a point where this dog was going to die in our house. This is about 10 years ago. 10 years ago. This dog was going to die laying on the floor, and she was foaming out the mouth. She was kicking. She was spurting. And I've seen a lot of dogs die, and this dog was fixing to die. I looked at my baby girl, Hannah, and she was absolutely distressed. She was distraught. And my heart absolutely went out for her. And I said, old family, knelt down, and we prayed for this dog. And said, God, you know I don't like this dog. But she does. And God, I ask you to heal this dog. And I no more than said amen. This dog jumped up, wagged her tail, and took off going, and was absolutely, perfectly healed. Absolutely. God will heal animals. Amen. That was over 10 years ago. Well, the kids went to this camp the other day at the Pawnee. I had a wonderful day at work on the Thursday. Sold 3 cars. I sold 2 cars the day before. I mean, I was on the mountaintop. I was praising God. Let me tell you something. It's easy to praise God when things are going good. Well, I get to the house. This dog is put into a home where he gets all the food he could ever eat, all the water he could ever drink. It's got shelter from all the wind of everything you could ever imagine. This dog is blessed. Okay? Blessed. I get home. I'm praising God. I'm the one that's providing for the dog. I'm the main provider. I go in here and I open the door to let this dog that is so blessed out. And this dog goes straight out the backyard through a hole in the fence and takes off down the street. What in the world would that dog be attracted to? I've got everything that it ever had me of. I go outside and I try to holler at her. I try to give her the sweetest voice that I know that I can do when I'm agitated. come here. And this dog would run through me. And all night long, at first, I said, you know what? Just go. I don't even care. Going inside, and I said, you know what? Hannah loves that dog. I kind of like the dog, too. Well, I go back inside the house, and I'm thinking about it. I thought, my goodness, all night long, I'm worried about this dog. And it storms. I'm telling you, lightning comes down. The electric goes out, and I am worried about this dog. I'm thinking, that poor dog is half blind. It's probably going to get run over by a truck. It's going to do this. And I was worried. All night long, I'm fretting over this dog. Next morning, I get up extra early. I roll my windows down on the vehicle. I'm going down the streets, and I'm hollering, Kiki. Kiki, that's the most ridiculous name for a dog. Kiki. Windows going down. Kiki, Kiki, going down the road. And I'm worried about this dog. I'm looking absolutely ridiculous looking for this dog. Kiki, Kiki. To no avail. I get to work, and my heart is heavier and heavier and heavier. Mind you, at first I was a little frustrated, but the more time went on, I was getting concerned because this dog might be gone. This might be it. Well, I called my, we're talking to my wife, and she said, you know what? Hannah had such a hard time at camp last year because of Papa. She is having such a good time now. I hate to give her this bad news that her dog may be gone, and now my heart's really heavy. And I'm praying in my office, and I need to be selling cars, but I'm worried about this dog. I said, you know what? I'm going to call the police. I know it sounds silly. I said, I'm going to call the police. I called the police and said, hey, I wonder what the chances is that you have rested a dog. I mean, they said, what? I said, let me tell you. I said, I got this dog.
I don't really care about the dog. My daughter loves this dog, and it's gone. Honestly, I have no idea, but here's an idea. Call these people. Call this number. They gave me a number. I called, and I got a voicemail, and I said, hey, my name is Daniel Black. I'm on this address. I am looking for this dog. If you happen to pick it up, can you please call me? It's a goat dog. I described the best I could. About an hour and a half goes by. I get a call. Is this Mr. Black? I said, yes, sir. This is Mr. Black. This is Daniel Black. Yes, sir. He said, well, I've got a dog. He said, but this ain't it. He said, this thing's in bad shape. He said, this dog has got all of its teeth are out. It's missing half of its teeth. He said, it's got cataracts on its eyes. He said, this dog's about blind. He said, this is the most pitiful looking dog. He said, but the hair is just the prettiest hair you ever saw. He said, it's the craziest thing. He said, I've never seen a dog with this bad teeth and this bad eyes and have this pretty of a coat. He said, but yeah, this ain't your dog. I said, that's it. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm serious. That's the dog. And I could hear him in the background. He said, he wants his dog back. I said, yes. How can I get it? How can I do it? And he said, come over here at a certain time. Well, I show up at that certain time. And he said, all right. He said, before you come in here, he said, don't get your hopes up. He said, make sure this is your dog when you come in here. And I said, okay, yeah. I go inside here, and I want you to mind you. When I go in here, I see perfectly healthy dogs. I see boxers. I see this. I see perfectly healthy dogs that are sitting there that would love to go home with me. But when I go inside there, I said, that's her. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, that's her. He said, that's her. He said, well, come out here, and we'll sign the paperwork. And that dog seen me, and she looked up. She just perked up because she saw me. And I walked out and got signed, and I had to do the paperwork. And without a doubt, that dog thought, you know what? Time and time again, he has provided for me. And this time was the last time he's done with me. And I had to stay out there, and he saw him. He said, I can't believe you're coming back to this dog. Throwing that out. And I said, well, I said, my daughter loves this dog. I said, be honest with you, I kind of like her too. We're filling the paperwork, and I go back inside the pound, and all the dogs are barking, and she is sitting down in the corner, and her head is down, and you just see tears literally coming down her face in the front of that. And she was just sitting there just trembling, and she literally thought that I'd walked out and left her. I walked all the way up to the front of her cage, and she didn't even know it. I was standing right in front of her cage. She didn't even recognize it. And I was waiting for him to come over, and I got tired of waiting, and I grabbed the bar, and I went, ka-chink! And it was so loud all through the building. And she looked up, and she saw me, and she started trembling, slowly walking up to me. And I said, come on, baby girl, we're going home. And she jumped into my lap, and I took her home with me. And I'm here to tell you, I tried putting her in the passenger seat. She wasn't having it. She was sitting right in my lap the whole way home. And she was just a trembling, and she was crying the whole way home. But the point that I want to make of this story is, that dog had everything that it had need of. Every need it ever met, but she got away from me. And in her mind, she thought, without a doubt, whenever we get away from the Lord, we think he's going to beat me. He's going to punish me severely. That dog, without a doubt, thought that I'm going to beat it mercifully when I come right. But honestly, from the integrity of my heart, all I wanted was that dog to be safe. I wanted that dog to be home. I wanted it back in its position. I wanted it to be in the safety of our home because it's a part of the family. And you know what, brother and sister, that's the way it is with us. If you ever find yourself where you pull away from the Lord, I don't know why I got away from him. I get every need met here. They provide. God is a good provider. But if you ever find yourself away, that devil will try to tell your mind, you better not go back. You better not raise your hand to the Lord. You better not do it because you're going to have to get a whipping if you do. It's a lie of the devil. Just listen to me. You come from here, you're going back over there. You're just in a little hickey of time. And if you ever find yourself starting to drift out of path, he's going to come back for you. Mind you, there's a lot of other dogs I could have went home, but their name wasn't written on the blockhouse. Kiki's was. And whoever gave her that name, one of these days, maybe they'll have a son named Sue, you know. Let's all stand. Instruments of the Lord. That dog is an instrument. And she has everything given to her. And if she will, the more she can instrument herself of being an obedient dog, the more I will bless that dog. And if I know how to bless a dog I don't even like, imagine how much God will bless a son that he does like.
Amen.
I heard someone say one time, I love you, but not only do I love you, I like you. You know, a lot of people love their son, they don't like him. God loves you, and God likes you. And God wants you to do well.
Amen.
Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I know this is kind of an offbeat service, Lord, and I didn't hit a lot of the major points that I wanted to, but I feel like we got the points that you wanted me to give, Lord. I'm asking that you would help us, Lord, each one of us, to yield ourselves to the spirit of the free moral agency that you've given us, Lord, a choice that we can make, Lord, that we can be obedient, Lord, to your voice, Lord, because the spirit that we yield ourselves will be the one that we yield to, will be the one that we're servants to. I'm asking you, Lord, you touch each heart here tonight. Lord God, that we can be faithful to you, Lord, and acknowledge how good you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sister, you got a song
with you? What song is that? I love you.
How many can let the Lord Jesus Christ live through you?
Amen.
You have a choice. As Brother Daniel was sharing with us, you know, we have the black dog and we have the white dog both in us.
That's right.
The prophet told us that. Mm-hmm. Our Christian walk was like that. And it depends on which one you feed is the one that's going to have the strength in your life. But you know, the life of Jesus, we just read a while ago. He died and he rose again. And because he's risen, death has no more power on him. That means he never was, but he's not about doing things that death would come upon. And he lives in you. That same God that Brother Dan was talking about it lives in you. The one that will never die again. The one that's already paid that price. The one that doesn't make mistakes, he's in you.
Yeah.
He's that white dog, as we would say. But you've got to give him attention. You got to pay attention to him. You got to feed him.
Yes.
We have, as Brother Brenham said, as a husband and wife, to marriage, and a wife has a responsibility. A husband, we have a responsibility to Christ and to prayer and to the Word and to ministry and so forth. But he's alive in you. You need to identify with that one in you. I think we could all say, I see times where I know that something's working in me, and that's God. And you know, if there's times when you know it's the devil trying to anoint you, you know that that's there. And you want to identify with the one who's already paid the price. The one whose sin can't touch him, death can't touch him. That's who you want to be. Identify with that. is the God, it is God when he speaks to you. He's not speaking to your flesh. He's not even trying to get your mind. When God speaks to you through his word, he's speaking to that attribute inside you that's his life inside you. I remember Brother Daniel was talking about parents getting into your children's personal life. And most of you know that I didn't have a dad growing up, and just met him a few years ago, but I did have a grandfather who loved me and took me in, grandparents. And I also had an uncle, the youngest of their sons, that I shared a room with, a bedroom. Everybody in our house had to share a bedroom with somebody, right? And shared a room with this uncle of mine named Arlen Cecil. And I used to hate report card day, because the driveway was really long down the hill, way off there, and then the road down there, just right at the top of the hill was what we call the garage. And that bus would pull up there, and I'd start up that long driveway, and my uncle would be standing there at the corner of that garage on report card day. Now, how he knew what report card day was, I don't know, because he was standing there, and I hated it because I knew what he was there. He wanted to see that report card when I come up that hill. And he'd chew me out if I didn't have good grades on there. Aren't you glad that you have somebody that looks at your report card? Every time you come in the church doors, even also in your own personal life. When God is speaking to you down inside you, you feel the Lord leading you and speaking, you know it's God, you know it's right. How do you know that that's not the part of God that you are?
Yes.
We say it's the Holy Ghost speaking, but maybe that's Him, the part that you are.
Yes.
So what I say that is, maybe that's really you. You can't get away from it, from God now. You've come in contact with Him, and you know that you can't even walk away from Him because He's there dealing with you, speaking to you, drawing you back. Well, maybe that's just who you are now. God has revealed to you that there's a seed down inside you that's Him. And that's what you want to identify with, because that's the guy that never did sin, never will sin. That's the one that will never pass away. Never will. And a lot of times, when you're out of fellowship with God, that in itself is the punishment. The misery of being out of fellowship with Him. It isn't that He's going to whip you and spank you all the way back to the house or anything like that. Because most of the time He knows that the prodigal son, when that prodigal son's coming back, he's already been judged and he's already realized what his mistake was. You got something inside you that checks you and says that wasn't right. Then you go with that, and it's already done.
Yes.
It's already done.
Amen.
And we just want to identify every day more and more with that life that's in us that's just trying to sprout out and come stronger and stronger and grow because it's there. Amen. How many enjoyed what you heard today?
Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you. What song? Because He lives. That's what I'm looking at. Amen. We'll sing this as we get ready to go. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with Him. Good to hear the things Brother Daniel had on his heart. And I guess I'll never think about little Kiki again the same way. That little dog. Poor thing, but even that little dog has a purpose.
Amen.
If nothing else, he can tell that testimony. You know, God will make you come back and eat your own words, and like Brother Dan said, I hate that dog. I don't like that dog, but now I kind of like the dog. You know, so it's so funny. May the Lord bless you. We'll sing this. God save you.